Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter. Well, hello again, everyone. Welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is episode 194 of The Big Show. Today is May 24th, 2017, and thank you so much for tuning in. I really, really do appreciate it. I think we've got a really cool show today, and it starts with an interesting article, a really fascinating article that I read the other day from an online magazine called Mumbrella, who are down in Australia. Really, really insightful discussion with Brad Rencher from Adobe about the nature of change and the pace of change that we're seeing in marketing because of technology. And one of the core aspects of this is how marketers feel, and this is from the article itself, feel perpetually left behind by technology. Marketers struggle to keep up with all the changes that exist out there. Now, I recognize this is a problem. Anybody who's listened to the show for any length of time knows that I teach for Rutgers Business School and I teach at NYU School of Continuing Professional Studies to help marketers and business people and technologists who want to get into marketing to understand these changes. So I want what I'm about to say to be taken in the most warm, understanding, and supportive fashion possible. And that is, bummer, dude. Right? I mean, I don't want to be a jerk. I really don't want to be a jerk. But the reality is, that's the reality. The reality is, change is part of this. And we need to work to keep up, because our customers are adapting very quickly. And our job is really to help our customers. Now, I want to be fair. I want to be incredibly fair. That doesn't mean it's easy. And it doesn't mean that it's always fun. Though, candidly, I do tend to find it fun. But I fully acknowledge that it can lead to stress. I fully acknowledge that it can be challenging. I don't want to dispute that for a second or make it seem like I'm making light of that. What I do want to say is, and I want to echo a quote from Adobe's Brad Rencher in this article, where he says, "The future of the experience business is understanding the primary way your success or failure is going to be measured is 100% dependent on the customer experience you provide." I'd even go one further there, which is that all businesses are going to be experienced businesses before too long. You know, something I've talked about before, and I didn't invent this. Many, many, many smart people have made this point a number of times, that really the internet eliminates the middle ground. There's really only two strategies, maybe three, that really work because of the internet. And one of those is you can provide the very best price relative to your competitors. Or you can provide distinct experiences that customers will be willing to pay more for. Realistically, that's it. When we talk about the transparency of price, when we talk about the transparency due to things like ratings and reviews, when we talk about, and when I say ratings and reviews, I mean customers talking about your products and services on social media, through LinkedIn, through Twitter, through Facebook, etc., regardless of whether or not there's a distinct rating and review platform within your specific vertical. The fact of the matter is, customers know more about your products and services. They know more about the experience, and they know more about your price than many of your employees do, because they're highly incented to do so. So the only thing you really can do is either compete on price, which is very challenging, or provide an experience that's sufficiently differentiated and sufficiently distinct that people will be willing to pay more for it. Your customers simply have too many alternatives that are either cheaper or better to waste their time with just a Me Too product that's, you know, in the squishy middle. For better or worse, that's the reality. Now, I do want to be incredibly fair. According to the same article, the same umbrella article, and again, this is Brad Renger from Adobe saying, there's a fundamental realization from even the most senior executives that if brands don't change to embrace this kind of digital transformation, they're going to be left behind and their entire business is at risk. I cannot say enough what a good thing that is. That's a very healthy attitude to recognize we have to embrace this change. And of course, I think there's a really core way, a really repeatable way to do that. And you've heard me say it before. I've said content is king, customer experience is queen, and data is the crown jewels. Now, I've talked about content as king before and customer experience as queen a fair bit. But today I really want to focus on data as the crown jewels and why that matters. And the reason is because it provides insights about your customers. It helps you understand what really matters to your customers. And it helps you understand the context in which they come into contact with your product or your service. For instance, when customers are using their mobile phones, when your customers use their mobile phones to interact with your brand, with your business, are they doing that sitting on their couches and, you know, looking something up while they're watching TV? Or are they, quote unquote, legitimately mobile and interacting with your business while they're running around from place to place, you know, running between appointments or picking their kids up from school or soccer practice? Your data helps you answer that question. And when you answer questions like that, it helps you create the experience that works for your customers' needs. Fundamentally, data is entirely about understanding your customer's journey. Questions like, who are your customers? What do they want? What do they need? Your data helps you discover that. It helps you get under the hood and recognize what are the drivers in their purchase decision. What are the things that matter to them? Now, what kind of data? Well, search data, social data, browsing data, behavioral data, surveys, all forms of data that help you get a clearer picture of your customer, both quantitative data and qualitative data that tell you who this individual is, what matters to him and her, what it is you need to do to help address his or her challenges, his or her needs. That's critically important. Now, we're not just talking about big data. We're talking about each piece of data that you can get access to that helps you learn more about your customer, that helps you improve the experience that your customer receives. My favorite line about this comes from Julie Ask of Forrester Research, who talks about collecting data not like Big Brother, but like Big Mother, using this data to provide a more supportive, more welcoming, warmer, more human experience. If you do that well, customers will be happy to share that data with you because they get value out of it. Now, obviously, I just mentioned Big Brother, and it's clear you've got to be careful with data. Last week, I talked about dropping Uber and how some people are dropping members of the quote-unquote Frightful Five, or AgFam, as I like to call them, Apple, Google, Amazon, Facebook, Microsoft, or Alphabet, Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Microsoft. And one of the reasons people are dropping them is because they're scared about the data these folks have about them. So it's really important that you protect these crown jewels like your business depends on it. And that's because it does. Your business easily can be threatened if you're not looking out for the best interest of your customer. So if you don't want to look for customer privacy, if you don't want to look to protect customer privacy and protect that data because it's the right thing to do for your customers, though I think you should at least do it because it's the right thing to do for your business. It's the thing that you need to do to protect your customer in all cases. Now, as Rencher notes in the Umbrella article, you can do this in bite-sized chunks. In many of our past episodes, I've talked about the idea of a minimum viable product, how you can start small. You don't have to think in terms of big data. You can start with small data. You can start with data that begins to answer questions about what matters to your customer. And then scale up over time. You don't have to, you know, what's the old joke about how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Obviously, big data has lots of implications, and because that's such an important topic and leads to things like the importance of AI, I'm going to talk about that next week. But you absolutely can get started with this. And kind of bring this full circle to the point of people struggling to keep up. I did a whole episode about this about a year ago on how you can keep up, how you can continue to learn. You know, techniques like reverse mentoring, spending time with people already immersed in technology and in the technologies you need to understand, especially younger people who take things like mobile or take things like data for granted in their lives. Spending time educating yourself and talking to people who know more about the various emerging technologies like data, like personalization, like AI. One of the best quotes I've ever heard came from a mentor of mine who said, if you're the smartest person in the room, try to find a new room. Right? It's a great way to keep learning. There's a great book called Never Eat Alone. And part of the concept is talking to people who might know more about a topic than you do, regardless of whether they're older than you, younger than you, more experienced than you, more green than you, but they bring something to the table that you don't. Obviously, you can read. I'm reading Alec Ross's The Industries of the Future right now and highly recommend it. You can also read The Second Machine Age by Eric Brynjolfsson and Andrew McAfee. Really great stuff. And Hal Varian's book, Information Rules. Hal Varian's the chief economist from Google, is really great too. I will put a link to all of those in the show notes. Check out YouTube. You gotta love YouTube. There's TED Talks, there's Authors at Google, there's Udacity, there's Khan Academy. I just watched this fascinating interview between Amazon's Jeff Bezos and Michael Beckerman of the Internet Association on YouTube, and how Amazon is shaping its business and using technology. And to bring this full circle, what I thought was amazing was he said, this is Bezos, this is a quote, we always put customers first, and that they have a, quote, customer obsession. Now, of course, they're simply using data to enable that obsession and make them more effective. So clearly, the Frightful Five, AgFam, whatever you want to call them, makes data core to their process because it helps them understand their customers. And it helps you understand your customers. And it helps you to keep up with the change because if you can understand your customer better, you can create a better experience. And fundamentally, that's why data matters for marketers. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. But I want to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all past episodes, by going to timpeter.com/podcast. While you're there, you can click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there. You can also subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Music Store or Stitcher Radio. Just do a search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or Plain Old Thinks Out Loud. We should show up on any of those. And while you're on those pod distributing, those podcatchers, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, if you could provide a rating for us, a really good rating, I would very much appreciate it. You can also find me on Facebook.com at Facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates, on Twitter using the Twitter handle at TCPeter, or via email at podcast@TimPeter.com. With that, thank you again for tuning in. I really do appreciate it. If you haven't noticed, we are doing a bi-weekly every 2 weeks during the summer, so I will see you back here in 2 weeks on Thinks Out Loud. But until then, I hope you have a great week. I do look forward to seeing you back here on Thinks Out Loud in just a couple weeks' time. And until then, take care, everybody.